Religion, Zealots, and Reconnecting with Our Mythology by Sean Carrigan, published February 24th, 2015. A lot of people I know claim they are not religious. If they had said that they were not very religious, I could accept it. But to claim complete separation from religious thought is like saying, I do not get angry, or I do not get hungry. It's self-deluding. No one is entirely rational all the time, and religion is just one of the ways we explore our irrationality. Irrationality is built into our physiology. Since our eyes cannot absorb information rapidly enough to accurately construct reality, our unconscious minds are constantly building approximations of the world around us. Our brain does not use the scientific method. Rather, it looks for patterns and approximates what it thinks is there, filling in the holes and providing a partially accurate but mostly illusionary worldview. This is why a room looks different after we visit it a few times. On a more conscious level, we are constantly building stories based on these patterns to make sense of the world around us, a very unscientific and often inaccurate process of information gathering, but necessary to deal with the psychic strain of a world that makes no sense to us. No amount of fact-finding can fully satisfy our need to have a solid picture of the world. Religious activity isn't much different either, except that it operates in larger groups and is integral to all human societies. The usefulness of reconnecting. This discussion is complicated by the fact that my definition of the word religion is almost certainly different than most readers. The word religion comes from the Latin religo, meaning to reconnect. And that is essentially what religion is about, reconnecting with the past, or at the very least reconnecting with a mythology or identity that traces its origin to a specific event. Assuming you are in the United States, if you've ever celebrated the 4th of July, you have engaged in a religious activity. It allows us for the opportunity to reestablish and celebrate what we believe is our origin story, the defining moment we became what we are, which in the case of Americans is often cited as being rugged, rebellious, and individualistic. Of course, Americans are nothing of the sort. Today, we are far more dependent on commerce than even the most metropolitan individuals in the 19th century, purchasing needed goods several times a week. We become fidgety without power to our phones even for a few hours. Our lax response to the nation's growing list of problems would have made even the most successful tyrants in history salivate. None of that matters to the supposedly secular and rational participant of the 4th of July. The observance isn't about reality, but trying to make sense of the various narratives in our overworked heads. If there ever were such a thing as a hyper-rational human, there would be no need to reconnect with anything. People who claim to be hyper-rational do not observe days of celebration for the day our sun began the process of nuclear fusion, or to make special note to observe the anniversaries of any scientific discoveries. You might say, well, maybe we should, but celebrating holidays is not about what happened 200 years ago or what happened 2,000 years ago. It's about what it says about us living today, who we are. The benefit of religion is that it helps us be a little more like those we revere, to be a little more like our vision of Thomas Jefferson or Patrick Henry, defiant in the face of certain death, or a little bit more like Christ, generous when we'd rather be frugal. Even if we are a far cry from our inspiration, the observant makes us refocus our values. Attacking religion. Christians often complain there's a war on Christmas, and of course they're right, complaints about holiday trees notwithstanding. There is a war on Christmas, just as there is a war on everything else that is not homogenized into the actual national religion, that of consumer society. Christmas for Christians is about reconnecting to their narratives, their identity, one that is constantly under assault, usually indirectly, though sometimes explicitly, from a hyper-consumerist society interested in little more than technological gadgets. On a psychic level, Christmas serves an identical purpose to the 4th of July. It tells a group of people who they are so that they can deal with the world. Religion is not about describing who died when and who rose where and ate what. That is dogma. Religion is a little bit of irrationality that exists within all of us, even those of us who pretend our beliefs are completely rational and based in evidence. Religion is our personal history that helps the world make sense. Writing in National Geographic, Joel Achenbach cites psychologist Dan Kahn of Yale University, who agrees, "The average self-identified rationalist is not any more rational than those who are aware of their religious tendencies." He writes, quote, "Those of us in the science communication business are tribal as anyone else. We believe in scientific ideas not because we have truly evaluated all the evidence, but because we feel an affinity for the scientific community." When I mentioned to Kahn that I fully accept evolution, he said, "Believing in evolution is just a description about you. It's not an account of how you reason," end quote. Those who believe they are rational are potentially among the worst promoters of irrational belief systems. Since they have an elevated sense that their worldview is sanctioned by unbiased experts, they are ready to attack critics they are ready to perceive as being anti-science. That they've never examined those reports firsthand and are often unaware of how scientific reports can be misleading or outright falsified never seems to cross their minds. Science on the move. The self-congratulatory ally of science, who is ready to employ science and force to see his vision of the world become reality, is potentially far more destructive than the zealots who wear their irrationality on their sleeves for all to see. The problem isn't science collecting information, developing a theory, and testing it. That is largely unopposed in this or any society. What is questionable is science, the ideology, which is not about acquiring knowledge for its own sake, but for exploitative use. Nation-states do not invest in science because they are curious about the world. They do so because it is an effective means of controlling and, if necessary, killing people and the rest of the natural world. Multinational corporations do not invest in science to cure disease or to provide services to a growing population, but rather to make money. Technology, the foremost child of science, works much the same way. The computer wasn't created so you could play games or write out Word documents. The internet was not developed so you could research your biology paper. These technologies were created to control and kill people. To this day, development in these and other technologies continue primarily for that purpose. Take, for example, Daniel K. Riskin, a biologist and TV personality. He promotes his vision for a society that is ready to accept the dictates of the scientific community without question.
What I'm trying to do is get people to love science and care about science and embrace science in a way that when we look back 10 years from now, maybe that's the goal, to be anti-science would be unthinkable. The way being anti-gay is unthinkable now, because science is such a critical part of how we're going to get out of the kinds of crises we live in. Scientists are such great people. Scientists are working so hard to make the world better. And there's vaccination. That matters. I mean, that I have babies at home that I do not want to get sick with measles. And so it really matters to me that vaccination is part of public policy. And if I have an elected official who says, well, vaccinations, I don't know, what are you doing? That's not responsible, and it's not informed. And I expect my government to act like a government, like a response, like grown-ups. You know, here is the evidence, and actually look for evidence, ask questions, get the evidence they need to make an informed decision, and then make the one that is the informed decision. And so I would absolutely want to know if somebody running for office didn't think vaccinations, didn't think evolution, didn't think climate change, or whatever.
Riskin aligns the distrust of science with homophobia, racial bigotry, and other irrational viewpoints. To be fair, he may have a point that the fear of the unknown can promote bad behavior. However, he doesn't propose all people become hyper-rational scientists. Rather, he wants society to accept science, the ideology. He believes that if a statement comes from the nebulous scientific community, it should be accepted on its face. He will no doubt deny this is what he means, but that is the practical effect of embracing science without understanding it fully, which is not possible for most people. I see two major problems with this line of thinking. First, he is asking us to place a dogmatic level of trust in a system that has proven itself destructive to the natural world, including human beings, and continues to do so every moment of every day. He is not asking us to be scientists, but rather to trust in other scientists. The risk that corporate or governmental forces will abuse this trust and manipulate scientific findings for their own ends is extremely high. After all, they do it all the time. See Journal of Advanced Practice Nursing, CDC cooked flu death estimates to sell vaccine. Second, an unquestioning belief that through scientific discovery we can solve the challenges facing the planet is highly dubious, since those problems are entirely caused by science and the exploitative power it gives us. I'm reminded of the 1921 novel We, in which the author describes a dystopian world run by the certainty of mathematical and scientific constructs, where numbers and logic rule. Though the science of production has made many rich men over the centuries, it has done little more than provide electronic distractions for the masses. The fear of science is not a fear of objectively observed truths. Rather, it is a fear of totalitarian powers who have no qualms about using or manipulating scientific findings for their own benefit. Make no mistake, the logical result of Rifkin's vision is an unchallengeable state religion of centralized control built on what he erroneously believes to be mathematical certainty.